and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist Mickey Fulk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And Mickey, the dog days of summer are upon us, but when it comes to the news flow, boy, oh boy, once again, this has not been a slow summer. You're keeping busy as well, aren't you?
Well, the markets may be bad, Rob, but it's not bad to be busy during slow times.
Indeed. Now, you wanted to take an updated look at lithium for this program, Mickey. We focused on lithium, I think it was about 2 years or so ago. So let's kick it off with a bit of a refresher from you. This is an alkali metal, silvery white in appearance, pretty soft as well. Fill us in.
It's an alkali metal, as you say. It's number 3 on the periodic table, so it's very lightweight and not very dense. 25th in abundance in the Earth's crust. Interesting factoid to me was that not only will it float in water, mm-hmm. but it also floats in oil. And being an alkali metal, of course, it's very reactive and flammable. So you got to store it in Vaseline, Rob.
In Vaseline, I did not know that. I'm sure a lot of the audience is probably going, what? They didn't have any clue either. Fill us in on its use, Mickey. I know that one of the big uses right now, I believe, is battery uses, correct? Alkali batteries?
That's true, but that's still less than one-third of the total use. So you have two types of batteries. You have the alkali lithium batteries, and then you have the lithium ion batteries, which are the rechargeable ones. But the glass and ceramic industry uses most of the lithium in the world as flux for those processes. And then the original use was for lubricants, for grease, for heavy machinery.
Mm-hmm.
That was developed first by the Germans in sometime around 1923 by the giant German mining company called Metallgesellschaft. And geologists in the audience here will certainly remember that company. They were quite active in the 80s in exploration in North America.
Okay, and where are the main producing regions for lithium?
Well, lithium comes in two different geologic environments that are important. The lithium brines the saline lakes in very dry desert regions of the world. So that's dominated by Chile and Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Bolivia has arguably some of the world's greatest reserves with the Cocalero Evo Morales as president and nationalizing one industry after the other. I don't think that's going to be an important source for any time in the near future. And then there's the spodumene market, and spodumene is a mineral that occurs in granite pegmatites, and that is what really supplies most of the glass and ceramic business, and that's dominated by a couple of mines in Australia.
Okay, now if memory serves, Mickey, thinking back to the interview that we did a couple of years ago, this is basically controlled by a cartel, isn't it? A small number of companies, and how do we get an accurate read on the price of a metal when it's controlled by a small group of companies?
Well, you don't really always get an accurate read on the price, and in this case, it's controlled by three giant chemical companies in the world, and that would be SQM, which is a Chileno company, FMC, which is the food machinery corporation in the U.S., a giant chemical company, which also makes heavy equipment and runs the Trona mines in Wyoming, which we mm-hmm. talked about a month or so ago. And then the third is Foot Chemetall, and that's a U.S.-German company, and so those three companies control the world's brine market for the most part, that cartel. Then they're in the spodumene market. There's a couple of mines I mentioned in Australia that dominate mm-hmm. that, and then you have China. So the chemical companies control the lithium brine, lithium carbonate market. We've got a couple of mines in Australia, one which is a giant mine that controls the spodumene market, and along with China. So it's a very opaque industry. Despite the projected demand from lithium-ion batteries, there is still a surplus in the world, and these three giant chemical companies mm-hmm. all have excess capacity, at this present time with plans to substantially increase that capacity in the next few years.
And what's really interesting in this lithium story, Mickey, you talked about a surplus of this material that's out there right now. Turn the clock back a few years for us, because there was a big bubble built up in this area of the mining world, and then it popped, and there were a lot of casualties along the way, weren't there?
Well, that's certainly true, and it's like all bubbles. So there was this projected giant increase in demand based on the idea that lithium-ion batteries were going to become the dominant fuel source for hybrid and electric and plug-in electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. That market presently is really dominated by nickel metal hydride batteries, which, by the way, contain the rare earth element lanthanum. So there was a bubble built up. The junior companies came rushing in, as they're wont to do. We had some stimulus, something on the order of $1.5 billion put in the industry by the U.S. government, mm-hmm. stimulus package and loans, guaranteed loans to electric and plug-in hybrid and hybrid cars to the tune of $2.5 billion. And so that kind of fueled this bubble in the junior resource sector, mm-hmm. and it didn't take long for it to start to leak, and my opinion is pretty much burst now.
Okay, what was the casualty count along the way, Mickey? How many companies jumping aboard this bandwagon at the height of the bubble, and then when the bubble had burst and when you surveyed the landscape, how many companies were left?
Well, by my count, and I will give credit to Glenn Jones of Intero Resource Intelligence for the basic data for that. We counted in 2008 72 companies with exposure to lithium space in the junior resource sector. Mm-hmm. By 2009, then we went back and looked at who had active news flow. 2009, there were 54 companies. 2011, they were down to 33. And as of this year so far, there's 19 of 72 companies that have released news on their lithium projects or efforts. So the carnage has been significant. I would dare say that there's only about a half a dozen companies that were ever viable. Two of those have actually been taken over, one by Talison, which is the giant spodumene producer mm-hmm. in Australia, and then one by Galaxy Resources, which also is a spodumene mine in Australia. There's been a mine developed in Canada on the spodumene front, but the brine area, with a couple of exceptions where companies have entered in strategic alliances with Japanese or Korean automobile manufacturers, is pretty much morbid and defunct, and don't think it's going anywhere,
right?
Because it's controlled by a cartel. It's
right.
Almost obvious to me what was going to happen, and it certainly has happened.
Okay, we still have 19 companies though with exposure to this area. Any idea how many of those 19 are even worth a look at? One or two?
I'd say there's three or four that will still be viable companies. You know, the idea, especially in the brine industry, is that the cartel that controls the brine industry is, of course, interested in projects that may be developed into reserves in the future. So it wouldn't surprise me if they would kind of foster some higher prices to make mm-hmm. some of these deposits look a little bit better so they could take them over. So certainly there's that area to play, but I would tread cautiously in this space. Doesn't look to me like it's going to be very successful. And then again, this projected demand that was has not come about. Mm-hmm. We're still in supply surplus. We have surplus capacity in the world. So it's a pretty risky end of the junior resource sector, in my opinion.
Okay, and you mentioned as far as batteries for the automobile industry is concerned, right now the favorite is the nickel-cadmium batteries. Any idea as to why the nickel is favored over lithium?
Well, these are actually nickel metal hydride
okay.
batteries, so
mm-hmm.
they contain nickel and lanthanum, and the cadmium industry doesn't, the cadmium batteries don't come into play in this this arena. Well, part of the deal is the hybrid vehicle market, at least in North America and Europe, is dominated at this point by the Toyota Prius, and the Prius uses a nickel metal hydride battery.
Mm-hmm.
The kinds of cars we have here that have gone the lithium ion battery route would be the Chevy Volt, and it seems to catch on fire. And that makes that makes sense, because these lithium batteries can catch fire. Interestingly enough, lithium ion batteries, the kind that supply your computer and your cell phone, et cetera, are quite small, and that area is certainly going to grow. But the projected very substantial increased demand is based on large batteries.
Right.
And I found out when I'm doing my research that the lithium ion batteries, people of questionable moral character can collect and hoard those, because they can be used to make methamphetamine.
We'll avoid that crowd.
Albuquerque, New Mexico, fans of cable TV will know about the blue meth of Breaking Bad, so I'm wondering if that secret formula of Walt there has anything to do with lithium ion batteries.
Yeah, amazing stuff, amazing stuff. Of course, we don't associate with that crowd, Mickey. We know nothing about them.
Absolutely not, except they're based in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in this fictional TV series.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, nice way to wrap this one up. Mickey, next time out, any ideas?
Yeah, well, we're going to go to the right of the periodic table and work our way down, and that would be the alkaline earth metals, and that would be things like one we've already talked about, which is beryllium.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, we'll do a review of the beryllium industry. Beryllium, magnesium, calcium, strontium, barium, and radium. So we'll work our way down those six metals over the next couple of months, Rob.
Okay, sounds good. Nice to catch up with you, Mickey. Enjoy yourself over the next couple of weeks, and we'll reconnect in just a few weeks from now. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Folt, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.